Before we talk about what's going on in the pay and benefits realm, I wanted to congratulate you on this beautiful plaque that you brought in and hung up in your office today. It's lovely. And I'm just going to you don't talk about these things. You're very self-deprecating and very humble. But I want to read this to people on the air because you've been doing this a long time. But I didn't have any idea how long you have been on the federal pay and benefits and federal news beat. This is pretty incredible. It says, "Dear Mr. Causey, I'm grateful for your coverage of federal issues over the years. I always read your column, you know, the nice kinds of things. I would like to please ask you to address in a future column the subject of when the best day for retirement is." Then you get that question all the time.
Yes.
"Please do not use my name in your column due to the sensitive nature of my current employment situation. Thank you very much. A loyal reader." And it's signed William Seward.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, the Alaska guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea that you've been doing it that long.
Yeah. Well, and that he's hanging around.
Yeah, know, that's right.
He's one of those people.
Yeah.
No retirement tsunami there.
So even back in the 1860s, people were wondering, when is the best day to retire from my federal job?
I met him before Seward's Folly, but 1867.
You knew him when?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, as a kid.
Yeah.
He's somewhat older.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations on that. It looks lovely in the office. So what are we paying attention to as we get down toward the end of the year? We're not ready for the year-end recap yet, but what is it that we're thinking about right now? Open season, only a couple days left.
That's a good point. Open season ends December 14th. That's Monday, and there's no point waiting to the last minute. Get it over with, and people should obviously be shopping. We say this every year, and it sounds like we're hawking books or trying to get advertisers or whatnot. But in a good year, by shopping around, people can save in combined premiums and out-of-pocket costs, save $1,000 in the following year by picking the right plan. This year, it's more than that because of the big change in Blue Cross Standard and the big change in one of the mail handlers options. Both of those are very popular, cover more than half the federal workforce. But because they're big premium increases, it'll certainly behoove people to shop around. And there are a number of choices. I don't want to favor anybody, but for people who want to stay in the Blue Cross family, they've been with it for 20 or 30 years, the Blue Cross basic plan, according to Walton Francis, the world's leading authority on health insurance, the basic plan is as good as, or in some cases better than the standard, and the premiums are significantly lower. So people should look at GEHA or other good options. The HMOs are good options. So people really should shop around. And the sad part of it is, and you and I have talked about this before, is each year only about 6% of the eligibles switch, and the number should be much, much higher. I mean, this year it probably should be 40% who should be switching.
Walt Francis is the author of Washington Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans, and he's been on your show, Your Term with Mike Causey, a couple of times already.
I've had him three times. He's going to be on again next Wednesday, and I learn something new every time. Walt is so good at this. You and I did some shows with him in previous years, and we used to joke that you could power up the set, let Walt start talking, and we could go to Starbucks for an hour, because he does these seminars for members of Congress, for civic groups, for retiree groups and whatnot, and he really knows the stuff. He's been writing that book for 31 years, so he's not one to argue with about this. And he says, and it's no skin off his teeth, plan you're in, except he wants you to be in the best plan. And, again, he's the one that says you should shop, you should probably many people should change. And some of the things to look for, it's not just premiums. I think most people, maybe many people, maybe most, focus on premiums and then go from there. He says premiums are a part of it, obviously, but look at premiums, look at the catastrophic coverage, that is the amount that you'll have to pay out of pocket before the insurance takes over, and they vary from $3,000 a year to $26,000 a year.
Wow.
So think about that. And the other thing is, be sure that your doctor, your favorite doctor or doctors, is in their network. If you get a fee-for-service plan, use the PPO, the preferred provider option, and it doesn't matter if your doctor's in it this year, that's good, but you want to know where he or she is going to be next year. The doctor probably won't know. You got to go for a checkup and say, who are you in? He probably doesn't know, but somebody in his office who sends out the bills will know.
Yeah. I think we get caught up in the price situation so much when we're thinking about insurance that we forget that element, that if the doctor that you have a relationship with over a period of years or has been taking care of your children since they were born and now they're ready to go off to college, and you're in one of these life situations like that, and all of a sudden your doctor's either dropping out of a plan. That happened to us a couple of years ago where a doctor let us know, listen, we're not going to be participating in this plan anymore for whatever reason. So I think people lose sight of that.
They lose sight of that. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And this is one area where, after just giving the knock to the Blue Cross standard, because it's an excellent plan, most people are in it. Most people in government in it, but the premiums are going up significantly in the next year.
Now, maybe that's why the premiums are going up.
Well,
because most people are in it, and they have to take everybody.
Well, they've stayed in it, and it's an older group. They call them heavy users. Mm-hmm. But the one area where the standard is better than the basic is the standard will let you go out of network, and it'll pay a fairly good chunk of it. So if you absolutely cannot live without a particular doctor, and that doctor is in the takes Blue Cross, then you might want to consider the standard option, because you will go out of you can go out of network and use any doctor you want.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, in many cases it's worth, if you can't reconcile your doctor with a certain health plan, then don't take that health plan.
All of the interviews that Mike's done with Walt Francis on Your Turn with Mike Causey are archived at federalnewsradio.com. You can go back and listen to them anytime you want. I was joking with him when he was in here the other day that he's only got a couple of weeks left till he can go back into hibernation for the year.
I told him he's like that play and movie Brigadoon. He comes to life once a year, in his case for a little over a month and a half.
Let's start calling him Phoenix Rising.
Exactly. Interesting, he does do, you know, everybody in Washington's a consultant when they retire. He actually consults and gets paid for it. He's in a variety of things. But yeah, for our purposes, he's 6 weeks and then he's gone.
And then he's gone.
Like a beautiful butterfly.
All right. Open season aside, what else are we looking at right now? A lot on the table.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, it's been a good year, and as you say, we'll reprise that in a later show, you know, one of the traditional year-end things.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very, very, very good year for federal workers, for retirees, for people under both retirement systems. It just I've never seen anything like it, and I'm sure we won't see anything like this again. The 2% pay raise is there. Could be a lot worse. Could be a cut, as many people in the private sector have taken, or an absolute freeze, as many more have taken. One thing to keep an eye on, without being an alarmist, is to watch the Senate deliberations on the health care reform. The House has already done theirs. We know what's in it. And as far as being a federal worker or a retiree goes, looks pretty good, the House version. That is, they don't touch the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has knocked out some provisions that were scaring lobbyists for federal and postal unions and retiree groups like NARF. But the thing to watch, the devil is not only in the details, because in this case, you know, you get bills that are 2,000 pages. They're longer than War and Peace, and not anywhere near as good, by the way.
A little more complicated,
but
too.
But when they go into conference, now it's December now, they've got to get out of here at some point this year. And I think the feeling on the Hill now is either we're going to kill this thing, which many want to do, or we're going to pass it no matter what's in it. We want to have health care reform.
Yeah.
So in a conference, when you get a small number of senators, small number of House people and their staffs, and they go in and do this under the gun, the clock is ticking and all that, anything could happen. And among the anythings could happen would be revive the provision that would say we're going to eliminate the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, going to force everybody into these, what do they call them, annexes or lobbies or something, state options.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is to bring everybody who's not insured now, the uninsured and the uninsurable, and put them into the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program.
So and the same rules that the federal employees have now, you have to be – somebody has to take you. If you sign up for this plan, have to insure you.
That's right. No pre-existing conditions. No, if you're eligible, you can pick any plan you want.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those would be bad for the FEHBP. Might be good for the country. Might be good for the people who'd like to get into the federal program. But it would not be good for feds or retirees. And there's another provision that's very likely to prevail, or two, really. One is they put what they call an excise tax on these so-called Cadillac or gold-plated plans, and that is if the cost of your plan to you and to the employer exceeds, and I want to say $8,000 or something like that, but if it exceeds that, and several do, then they would tax it up to 40%. Mm-hmm. The idea is to drive people out of those plans for some reason into lower cost health plans. The second one, the second provision, would these flexible spending accounts, which are really no brainers. If you map it out, everybody should have a flexible spending account. Do I have one? No, but that's because
but
I
you
was,
should.
I, but
at
I should.
Least you know you should.
And I know I should, and I'm going to try to do it if we have an open season. But they let you set aside money on a pre-tax basis, so you save money. They give you an account to pay for medically related things that aren't covered by your insurance, including deductibles mm-hmm. and things like that, co-payments. So you're not only paying for that with pre-tax money, but you're getting a break on it in another form. So it's really something worthwhile. You can get one for up to $5,000 a year now. That is put that amount aside in by payroll savings. But they're talking about cutting that to $2,500.
Why? What would be the point of cutting the FSA limit from 5,000 to 2,500?
It would bring a tremendous amount of revenue into the government.
Because you're not paying the tax.
Right. That's right.
You are paying the tax on that extra $2,500
worth. In a sense, you're giving everybody now the potential to defer $5,000 of their income from taxes.
I see.
So they would lower that so that you could defer only $2,500. And if that happens, then next year it'll be $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any sense right now of when we might find out about what's happening with the pay raise or lack thereof?
With the 2%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a question in to OPM about this. I'm supposed to talk to them today. My thought was it's 2% period.
Uh-huh.
That, in other words, if you get, say you make $100, because my math is terrible, say you make $100 a week mm-hmm. and you're in Boston, high wage area, Washington, Baltimore, high wage area, Houston, high wage area, $100 a week in every city. Say you make $100 a week in Boise, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
$100 a week in Los Alamos, New Mexico, what have you. My thought was that everybody would get a raise to $102,
right.
2%. But there are some people, and I don't know whether they're angels dancing on the head of a pin or what they're doing, but there are some people who are saying the raise is going to be more than that, or some even say it's going to be less than that because of locality pay. The way I read it, the way I read the president's statement, it was no locality raise for 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way most people read it. But you know, we may have to wait for an official ruling.
You said there are a lot of good things that have happened this year, and I do want to get you back before the end of the year to talk about some of those. But the big thing, I think, as far as just a straight-out benefit goes, is TSP talking about being able to roll some of your sick leave into your thrift savings plan account. We talk about a lot of times where the federal government's trying to get benefits that are comparable to what's in the private sector, but that's a really unique one. That's really powerful.
I'm always kind of amused by that because I want to see a 401k plan that is better than the federal program.
Yeah.
You know, they're always talking about that. Usually when they say that, they're talking about choices, a variety of investment options. But for most of us, that's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not.
It just makes it harder.
Right, right. And again, as I said before, I've gone around here to the station and talked to different people, and I say, "What are you invested in? What are you invested in?" Just the percentages, and a surprising number of people say, "I don't know. My mm-hmm. wife handles that, or my husband," but they don't know. Paralysis by analysis. You have mm-hmm. too many choices. But the federal program with the 5% match for a vast majority of people is in itself superior. And as John Bogle, we always drop that name, but you know, you and I had John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard and the father of index funds. We had him on the show, and he said, given the fees of the TSP, it's the best plan around, bar none.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey, you're already in the holiday spirit, too. You've got a baseball cap with mistletoe on it.
Right, and dressed like a tree, a green tree.
Which is beautiful, and I guess it's just all that remains is for us to hang some ornaments on you, and you will be ready to go.
Well, I'm shooting for Employee of the Month.
Okay.
It's coveted, and, you know, this is the last month.
You've got a great strategy for it, and I appreciate you being on the show with me today.
Glad to do it.